appreciate the encouragement. I really appreciated the worship this morning. It took me out of my thinking about coming up here and took me to the throne room. And that last song that we sang was one of those songs that when I was a child in church that used to just always capture me, because I've always been one of those people that the thing that gets me into the presence of the Lord fastest and most reliably is worship. It just takes me from here to that other dimension. And that particular song was one of the songs that every time we sang it in church, the words would just bypass my mind almost and go into my spirit. And I would just be sitting in the row, just blubbering, just. And I would look around and nobody else was blubbering. And it was a little embarrassing, but I now know that that's because that's how the Lord apprehends me. That's how the Lord grabs a hold of me and gets my attention. And so I really appreciated the worship this morning. Pastor Lanny has been taking us in a particular direction this year. It's moving around off. Is that good? All right. I'll take your word for it. It felt weird. Not at all. Not at all like it was supposed to, I'm certain. So Pastor Lanny's been talking to us about the process of transformation and the process of paying attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives in a given period of time, which is right now. We spent last year preparing for this, and now we're at the place where we're asking the question, where are you growing? And letting the Holy Spirit speak to us about where we are right now. What is it that he's doing in my life? What area has he pointed out to me that I want to grow in? And how we might go from here forward into another level of maturity. And because he has been talking to us about those things, and I assume you guys have been doing a similar direction, I had talked to the Lord and asked him, well, what direction would you like me to go with that? And he brought immediately to mind my own experiences. And because I really believe that one of the responsibilities and joys that we have as believers is the opportunity to share what God has done in our lives so that we can share that with others. And there will be people who will connect to that and get it and understand it and will be able to use that as an encouragement in their own life. And so as I was listening to my own spirit, where am I growing? The first phrase that cropped up in my mind was the derailment. Because it seems to me that as soon as we decide we want to grow in the Lord, it's like waving a red flag. I don't know what the process is. Well, that's not true. I do know what the process is. But you're waving a red flag, and immediately either your flesh or the enemy, or a combination of the two, begin the process to derail you from where you want to go. And the most reliable method that the enemy has to derail us from growth is the weapon of temptation. If you connect the dots, temptation is one of those things that comes to everyone because everyone has weaknesses. Everyone in this room has a weakness, or two, or three, or four. And those weaknesses are a reliable avenue to derail you if you don't know what's going on around you. And so the enemy will come to use the tool of temptation to derail you from the process of growth in that. And here's the interesting part. What temptation does is it draws you away from your dependence on God. You see, God created us with specific needs. We were created to be the perfect codependent relationship, not the bad codependent relationships that you hear about in psychology. But we were created to be the perfect codependent relationship. I was supposed to need him to fill certain things. I'm supposed to need him to protect me. I'm supposed to need him to help me, to provide for me, to love me. And that's supposed to work together. And the genius of the enemy's attack in the area of temptation is that he turns your attention just slightly so that you think you can meet your own needs in those areas. And once you turn in that direction, the relationship, the intimacy, and the fellowship that you have with God is interrupted. And you begin to pull away. And for all kinds of reasons. I can remember in my own situation, the times when I would fall repeatedly to a particular temptation, I would feel guilty. I would want to hide. I would feel unworthy to even be in his presence. Or maybe the last one, which we don't like to admit and we don't like to talk about, and that is, I liked the thing and I didn't want to give it up yet. That's probably the most powerful one, because there's something about meeting our own needs that feeds our control issues. We want to be in charge. I don't always like the way he meets my need and the timing of it. So if I'm in control of it, then I get to say. Of course, the difficulty with that is when you meet your own need, it always has a price tag. And the price tag always leads us to a place that we don't want to go in the final step of it. So what we are going to talk about today is how we can stop this derailment process. And it comes from a particular part of Scripture which I spent a good bit of time pursuing on my own. And I call it the escape clause. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But as we go toward that, to help us understand the nature of temptation, I would like us to turn to James chapter 1, verse 13. And I'm using the Amplified, or at least some portions of the Amplified, if that will help the sound room at all. That's James chapter 1, verse 13. And it helps us understand the nature of temptation. No one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured away and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Now, if you were going to put that scripture in layman terms or in plain English, how would you say that? Anybody? Just put that in real English. Somebody. Put it in English for us. It's not as powerful as we think it is?
No. It might last for a while, but it fails in the end.
It lasts for a while, but it has the potential to fail in the end. Sitting right behind you, I saw you open your mouth.
I guess the part that leaked out at me was that God doesn't tempt us, because overall the temptation is evil.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the temptation is originating where?
From us.
Yeah. You know, when you do scientific studies and you follow families, there tend to be generational tendencies towards certain sins, especially in the area of addictions, in the area of immorality. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if it's because we mirror what we see, or if there's something deeper that we don't know about. But they tend to sort of run in a generational form, which is a really good incentive to cut it off in your life so that you don't pass it down. But it's good for us to remember that the nature of temptation is that it emanates from here, with a little help from the enemy from time to time. But sometimes it's just us. It's just our flesh. Now, moving on to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it tells us what we're supposed to do with that temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Brian, if you're going to say that in English, just layman's terms, what would you say? What does that mean?
There's limits on what the Lord would allow us to face and have to endure. He protects us from being overwhelmed and swept away by the enemy.
Could y'all hear that? There are limits on temptation. And this scripture tells us there are limits on the temptations that are allowed to assault us. And that with those temptations, there's always a way of escape. Now, this scripture is the one that became my rock. It became my bedrock. It was the scripture that I chose to invest myself in when meeting certain temptations, because it tells me there's an escape clause. For every temptation that comes my way, there is an escape clause. There's a way out of it that I might be able to endure it. Somewhere a long time ago, I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard somebody say that temptation is not the sin. Temptation is the call to battle. And that can really change your whole concept of what's happening to you if you can grab a hold of that. Like, is there anybody in here whose weakness is chocolate, like mine is? Yeah. So, what? I'm actually approaching that place. So if you smell this, just smell that. Okay, that's the temptation, right? Sniff it one more time. This is not the sin. In fact, you know, if you just have one or two of these, that's not a sin. But for me, and maybe for Liz, this is the call to battle. And if you can grab a hold of that visual in your mind, first of all, it delivers you from a whole slew of guilt and condemnation. And it reminds you that you're human, you have weaknesses, you have avenues that the enemy likes to use. But when those avenues are presented to you, you see them for what they really are. And that is the call to battle. And the battle is for your intimacy and your fellowship. That's the battle. Because every time he comes with the temptation, or every time your flesh presents itself with the temptation, it's the call to battle for your intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. Because inevitably, we have an innate tendency in us to want to meet our own needs and to be independent of needing anyone else. And the very nature of our creation and the way the Lord made us was to be dependent on him for those needs. And so when it comes, you begin to recognize it. Hear the trumpet or whatever sound you make. If you're a guy, I'm sure you've got a more creative trumpet than mine. But see it for what it is. It's the call to battle. So what does a person do when they find themselves engaged in the battle? We try to disentangle ourselves. What's the first natural response to temptation if you're actually going to fight it? Does anybody have any clue? You try to disentangle yourself by willpower. Willpower. How many of you have tried the willpower route? Was it successful for you? No, it wasn't successful for me too. Depending on my ability that week or how much was on my plate, I might be more durable than on another week, but always my willpower would fail. And that is like our default setting on our program. Temptation comes, our first default program is rely on my willpower. And the second default is when my willpower doesn't work, I pull away from the Lord. But we want to reset that. We want our default to fall to the Lord. Now, it's helpful at this point if we understand a few things about temptation. First of all, we spoke that temptation is the enemy's determined intent to pull you away from the Lord so that you might not have that fellowship. And second of all, the operative word in almost all temptations is the word now. Now, I want it now. And there's some kind of, I mean, if you just think, every one of you, think into your little secret battles with the things that you are susceptible to. When the temptation comes, it's almost as if it's screaming on the inside of you. Now, 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 I want it now. And because we don't understand the nature of that call, we often give in to it just to make it shut up. Because we don't like that feeling inside of us, that tension, that lack of peace, that anxiety that's associated with the having of the thing that will meet your need. And so we give in to it either because we just want it to stop or because we fall into the mistaken belief that the temptation is the sin, and we've already sinned, so we might as well go ahead and give in. But it's not true. I did a little bit of research on this, a few years ago, and it was one of the things that helped me tremendously. How many of you know that most cravings have a 30-minute window of strength? Did you know that? You knew that. That's a really interesting thing to know. Now, there are certain cravings that have a little longer and durable window of strength, like drug addiction or alcohol addiction, because you've got a physiological thing happening inside of you over and above the actual temptation. But most of the temptations that we come up against in the course of a day have a 30-minute window of strength. And if you know that about it, when it rears its head, it makes it manageable. It makes it gives it closed parentheses around it. It's going to start here, and all I have to do is make it for the next 30 minutes or however long your window of strength is. But you need to know it has a window of strength. And as long as you know it's going to quit, you can endure it. It's an interesting phenomenon. You should play with that a little while. Knowing that it has a window of strength, it's next good to understand how you're going to meet that window of strength. Now, Jesus met that window by using the scripture. And, of course, we all immediately think of his temptation in the desert, where the enemy came and presented him with the need to satisfy his thirst, to satisfy his hunger, to satisfy his need for purpose in life. What was he there for? And he met that window of strength by calling on the Father, by looking through the need that the enemy was attempting to fill for him, and then finding the scripture that was alive and powerful in that situation. And then he spoke it. And because there is a supernatural power associated with the words of God, there's something in that that lends its strength to closing the window so that you can say no to the now. You can just say no to it using the scripture of God. Now, it does require a little bit of homework. And as we go on to put this escape clause into action, the first most important thing you want to do is make sure the Holy Spirit is a part of the process, because without him, you have nothing. Without him, you just have your willpower. And we already know that doesn't work. So you want to involve the Holy Spirit in the process. And I'm speaking to you guys from a platform of experience. I've had any number of weaknesses in my past that the enemy came to try to destroy me with, to break up my fellowship with the Lord. And so I had a lot of opportunity to seek the Holy Spirit and ask him how we could disassemble those strengths against me. And one of the things that I really feel like the Lord has blessed me with is the understanding and the need to examine what's happening in me, in my life, in my mind, in my thinking, so that life doesn't just happen to me. And it's one of the things that I feel so strongly about encouraging other people to do, because we don't want to be like the person who gets in at the top of a river in an inner tube and just floats with wherever the current takes us. into the rocks or into the shallows or into the middle where it's calm or into the rapids where it's rough. And because life has a tendency to flow upon us, we reach a place sometimes where we don't think to examine what's happening to us. And the most important and effective thing you can do as a believer is learn to be aware of what's happening to you. Learn to be aware of what you're thinking and what you're responding to and why you're responding to it and asking questions. And that's where getting the Holy Spirit involved in the process is most valuable. So when I come upon and recognize a weakness in my life, I begin to welcome the Holy Spirit in first to make me want to be free. I say, "Dear God, I see what the end result of this is. I don't want to go there. That's not who I want to be. That's not how I want to live. And I don't want to be a slave. But right now, the thing has power over me, and I love it. My flesh loves it. So the first thing I need is to not love it. And I ask God, please break the power of this love in my life. I want to love what you want, and I welcome you to help me make that transition. Help me not to love it. Help me to love the better thing." And that's important because you have to look at the thing in the face and say, "I may want you now, but I don't want to want you now, and I intend not to want you in the future. I intend to be free of you, and the Holy Spirit's going to help me do that." So you welcome the Holy Spirit to be a part of the process, and then you stake your very life on the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I had an epiphany recently about that scripture, and it had to do with how we take certain scriptures and we literally base our lives on them, and they're a done deal. We don't think about them twice. Like John 3:16. If you're a believer and you're sitting here today, John 3:16 is a done deal for you. You don't wake up every morning wondering if God is going to fulfill that scripture in your life. You saw it, you believed it, you prayed it, and it's done. You have absolute rock solid faith in that scripture. Am I right? Don't even think about it anymore. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, not so sure. Will he? Won't he? I'm not sure. Today? Maybe yes, maybe no. But he wants us to have the same rock solid faith in the scripture that says he will make a way of escape for us. And in that, he will give us the strength to endure it. And so that's how I pray. Lord, I want that to be rock solid in my life. I want to know that scripture. I want to believe that scripture. And I want to know that you're going to inhabit that scripture. The next thing I recommend that you do if you're facing a stronghold or a temptation that has a real root in your life and you're ready to be free of it is try to find out what need it is that you're filling with the doing of that. Because back to the beginning, the enemy wants to separate you from your dependence on the Lord. And the Lord created you with certain needs, and he desires to fill those needs. And so the enemy presents needs and attempts to help you make your own satisfaction for those needs. So if you can determine what need it is in you that's craving that temptation to fill it, it's really helpful. For example, do you drink because you're full of anxiety and you need to be calm and that's your way to calm yourself? Or do you need to get a good night's sleep and that's your way of quieting the voices in your head so that you can sleep at night? What's the need behind it? If you smoke, is that to take care of the levels of stress in your life or because you don't want to be fat? What's the need behind the drive that takes you to the filling of it on your own terms? Do you participate in immoral behavior because you just want to be loved? Or because you don't want to be lonely? And you're driven to fill and satisfy those needs in that way? It's helpful to let the Holy Spirit examine you with yourself. And those are the kinds of questions I ask myself. What is the strength of this temptation? And what need is it in me that I'm trying to fill on my own? And believe me, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you about these things. He desires to talk to you about these things. And if you ask him the questions, he will lead you to the answers. He is on the tip of his seat waiting for you to ask the question. Come on, ask me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Today. Come on, ask me. Come on. Go ask me. You know, he wants so much to be on display through us. He's just waiting for us to make him part of the process, and that's what it is. Now, this is my personal recommendation. Can't find this in the scripture. This is experience-based only. But if, in fact, you are looking at a stronghold or an addiction or some kind of a weakness that really has a hold on your life, when you hear a word like this, your tendency is to rush out today and try to put it into action and be free today. And that would be wonderful, ideally, if we could do that. But sometimes we need to let the process play out a little bit. And I recommend get a journal and journal what's happening to you. Journal the course of the day. What's happening right before the temptation? What's springing up in me that needs to be satisfied? Does it happen at a particular time of day? Is it in the morning when I'm driving to work and nobody's watching me? Is it in the afternoon when I'm driving home and I'm stressed out and I'm trying to relieve it? Journal your life. Journal the temptation. And don't climb into the guilt pit and preempt your battle for victory. Observe yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to observe you and speak to you in the process so you can see what's happening. Get your hands around it. Ask the questions. What need am I attempting to fill? And then begin to note your routines. Plot them down. If I took a different route home, would that make a difference? Maybe it would. If I put somebody else in the process somewhere, would that be helpful? Maybe it would. Now, we know that the power of deliverance is in the power of the word. And we know that the power of deliverance is in the power of our Lord living through us on display. But when I began to examine these things for myself personally, I found that there was a couple of more layers to it that were very helpful to me. And I call them filling the hole. There's a thing that happens physiologically when you take something that you have built a crutch on and you remove it from your life. There's a hole. And that hole can't just sit there. You have to fill that hole with something or it will scream to be filled. Just physiologically. And that doesn't even count emotionally or spiritually. You have to find a gap filler, a hole filler. And that, again, is where the Holy Spirit comes in. And he helps you to answer the questions that you're journaling. And he begins to give you helps and aids. Now, if you want to look at how that works in a broader spectrum, for people who have difficulty with drinking, AA has some hole fillers that are very helpful. It gives them things to do while they're activating the power of God in their life. Something physical to do that aids in the process of apprehending the words of God and letting them come to life inside of you. Or Teen Challenge, the drug programs. But you can also apprehend those on your own, asking the Holy Spirit, what will help me? Now, I want to give you just a little bit of a picture of what that might look like in real life. And I'm going to use my own life experience. And because this particular weakness is a weakness that I know everyone in this room battles with in one form or another. And it's probably the one acceptable sin in the Christian church. Does anybody have an idea what that is? Food. Because, you see, the thing about food, if you're a drug addict, you can quit taking drugs and you never have to take them again your whole life. If you're an alcoholic, you can quit drinking and you never have to touch a drop of alcohol again in your life. But if you're a food addict, you're in deep trouble. Because you can't quit that. You have to eat. You have to eat. And so that was one of my issues a few years ago. And I had the inability to say no to any good food. If it was there, I ate it. No willpower whatsoever. If it was there, I ate it. And I didn't like being a slave. I didn't like having a master. I didn't want to be controlled. And here's the worst part. I couldn't even be bulimic. I ate and ate and ate and ate. But I have this thing about throwing up. I have a goal in life, never to do it again. That's my goal. I would like to go from now to the end of my life and never do that again. So that wasn't going to be an avenue of help for me to solve my own problem dependent on myself. So I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? What need is this filling? And he told me what need it was filling, and it was helpful to me. I'll let you find out what need is filling for you. And then the Holy Spirit told me, journal it. And so I did. I started keeping a diary, and I started educating myself. And it's important to educate yourself to what's actually happening in your area of weakness. And I began to discover what kinds of foods I could eat that didn't create for the cravings in me. Foods that were lower in carbohydrates that didn't create the craving that made me want to eat carbohydrates for the rest of the day. I began to understand how my particular body worked and how I might help it with a hole filler. I found out that if I got to a certain level of hungry, I could not any longer endure that temptation. I had to fill the hole so that I could endure to the other side. And one of the things he taught me was never go anywhere without the proper snack. I am always prepared. In my purse right now, I have the proper snack waiting for me so that I never get so hungry that I'll eat anything. Now, every single weakness that you have, the Lord has the ability to show you a hole filler or a gap filler, something that you can do physically that helps you activate the power of God and the power of his strength and the power of his word in you to set you free. Back to the reason why we're talking about this. We don't want our fellowship and intimacy with God interrupted by anything. And that's what temptation is. It's the opportunity to depend on ourselves and depend on meeting our own needs and to cut off the codependent relationship that we are supposed to have. I need to need him and I need him to fill my needs. That's the way I was created. And that's why filling it yourself doesn't work, because this is the only fit that works. I strongly recommend that you memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13 and personalize it. And in fact, we're going to say it together today. We're going to personalize it. I'm going to say part of the phrase and you're going to repeat it. I just want you to get a feeling for the way it feels in your mouth, for the way it echoes in your spirit. When you hear it personalized. So will you guys participate with that? All right. We'll start with, no temptation has overtaken me.
No temptation has overtaken me.
Except such as common to man.
Except such as common to man.
But my God is faithful.
But my God is faithful.
Who will not allow me.
Who will not allow me.
Be tempted beyond that I am able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape for me that I will be able to endure it. bringing the whole thing into focus and seeing the larger picture, I want you to remember that the Lord desires to be on display through you. He longs to be on display through you. He wants to meet your needs in this area so that your intimacy and fellowship is uninterrupted. And he has an invested interest in working with you on this thing. You ask, he'll work with you so that he can be on display in you and through you to everyone in your life and the people around you, your coworkers, your family. He's invested in making you successful in this area of your life. And you can take that to the bank and you can have your own escape clause for whatever weakness you're dealing with. Let's stand. And let's pray. Lord, it is our desire that you would be on display in each one of us. We thank you for preparing a way of escape and ask you to help us learn how to use it effectively in our daily lives. We want to live our lives in such a way that our intimacy and fellowship with you are continual and uninterrupted. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to grant us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, that by having the eyes of our heart flooded with light, we might know and understand the hope to which you've called us, and how rich is your glorious inheritance to us, and to know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of your power in us and for us. And it's in your name that we pray these things. Amen. Peggy, did you have anything that you wanted to share? All right. Well, what I would like to do is make the altar available, whoever your prayer team is, if they could come up. I want you to remember that if the Holy Spirit is calling you to have someone pray with you to make a start on something like this, you can come forward with great confidence knowing you are not the only one in this room with a weakness. Everybody has a weakness or two or three or four. And if you want to come forward for prayer, you're admitting nothing other than you're like everyone else in the room. And we would be happy to pray with you, put a stake in the ground for today, and say from this day forward, my intimacy and fellowship will not be interrupted. And I will go forward to grow in the Lord where he's calling me to grow now, today. Those of you who are on your way, don't forget that the Royal Rangers have set up downstairs to welcome you and to give you an opportunity to fellowship with one another, and we want to take advantage of that. So you can come for prayer if you would like, or you can be released to the fellowship. Thank you. Did you guys put on a little music up there? Thanks.